Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, December 30th, 2017, you are listening to the final PW Torch Livecast of the year, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. I'm Rich Van. Tonight, we're going to give you a little bit of a preview of New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom show coming up this week on January 4th. I'll be joined by my good friend Chris Maitland in a moment. Before I get started, though, I want to thank you guys for listening. It's been an awesome almost 5 months at this point. I hope you guys are enjoying as much as I'm presenting it to you. So definitely hit the phone at area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And you can also hit us up on email if you go to pwtdive@gmail.com. So like I said, I'm looking forward to talking about that. I'm also looking forward to talking with you guys about anything else you have going on. Since I mentioned the end of the year, I also want to talk about the end of the year show I just did with Cameron Hawkins of South Congress and PW Torch. And you can get that by going on Cam's Twitter feed. If you go at C-E-E-Hawk, H-A-W-K, all one word, he has the links for accessing that show. Myself, Cam, Steve Williams of the Place to Be Nation, Shahid Abdulhadi of Stunt Granny went in a roundtable fashion, went over the year's events as far as wrestling matches, shows of the year for purely WWE, and then went over the fan votes. So it was fun, and it was a great collab with one of my Torch compadres. And since I'm in a given move, also take a listen when you get a chance to my chat I had with Sean Radican for the new Radican Worldwide show that's debuting this weekend. Sean and I talked a little bit about Wrestle Kingdom as well, but we also touched on night one of the 2017 PWG Battle of Los Angeles. So it was really fun. We had a great time. And again, check that out on the Torch. So without further ado, let me bring in my main man for the show, Mr. Maitland. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Happy holidays to everyone. And I'm surprised you didn't have any more plugs before you got to me there.
Oh, I do. I mean, it was a close shave and having a plug with you. And if I want to talk about close shaves, I got to talk about Harry's. Harry's is one of the things I use when my scruffy butt wants to get cleaned up. Why do I like using Harry's? And thank you for setting me up for this, Chris. I like it because, like I said, I'm fairly lazy when it comes to my facial cleanup. I like to keep my beard. But like tomorrow when I have to do my year-end date with the wife at New Year's Eve at the nice restaurant, I like using Harry's to make sure while I keep my beard, the rest of me looks well-shaven and I don't look like I'm a homeless person. It's all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy are two ordinary guys who were fed up with shaving and they got charged an arm and a leg, so they got rid of all the unnecessary stuff. And on all the unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades, and all products are backed by 100% quality guarantee. And Harry's is so confident and so confident in my presentation of this product to you guys that they were dumb enough to give me a code. Harry's.com/PWTorch. You just pay for shipping. And you claim a free trial offer from Harry's by doing this. $13 free when you sign up. It covers shipping. It comes with an ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating grip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, and it's a great way to tie into your New Year's resolution of saving money because you're going to save about $100 a year if you're a frequent shaver. That's harrys.com/PWTorch. Again, harrys.com/PWTorch. Boom. I have now set the record for reads and suggestions in a 4-minute period. So thank you, Chris, for that. I don't think you knew that was coming, but thank you all the while.
You're welcome. It shows you're doing a professional job here.
I'm trying, man. So we got Wrestle Kingdom coming up next week. So many matches, so many things to talk about. what is the biggest takeaway from you going into this season? What's the biggest hallmark of the year that was New Japan?
I think for me, and I may be in the minority for this, but the match that I'm most excited for is the Okada-Naito match, which would traditionally be considered the one and only main event. I know a lot of people are focused on Jericho and Omega, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But if you watch New Japan, you've kind of seen Okada have a tremendous year as the IWGP champion. And in a separate universe, Naito had a feud with Tanahashi, and he won the G1. And also had a great year. So, but they've been separated. They haven't wrestled each other. And it set up perfectly for them to wrestle in the Tokyo Dome, especially when you take into fact Naito's history of not being, you know, being in this match and having the fan vote where his match was put secondary from the main event, how he went to Mexico and formed LIJ and all that coming full circle. And Okada, who for in my mind is the best wrestler today. It will be, I think, a fantastic contest. I think both men are probably hearing or maybe have heard enough of the Jericho-Omega is the true main event conversation coming from this side of the world, and they're going to put on an even more excellent show than they planned to. So that's the match that I'm looking forward to the most.
Okay, what about least? Even though I think I know which one it is.
Least? Oh, boy. The match I'm looking forward to the least, only because those matches are always kind of awkward, is the six-man gauntlet. I like all those guys in the match, but those matches are weird. Some of the teams are kind of thrown together. So even though I it's a hard list to have, I would probably put that one as the match I'm looking forward to the least.
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to instantly go to the Young Bucks.
Well, no, I'm not looking forward to that match the least, provided that Sho and Yo win. I mean, I don't mind the Young Bucks losing. That's actually one of my highlights of the show, if that takes place.
Oh, jeez. Okay. And now, you mentioned this match, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Omega Jericho. Given the short timetable they had to assemble the match, and now that it's been declared a no disqualification match for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, what are your thoughts going into the match, and what do you anticipate being the theme, or how do you anticipate it being resolved?
I think how it will be resolved is based on whether this is Chris Jericho's last appearance. I think he's doing the New Year's Dash traditional show after the Tokyo Dome, but you know, depending on how much he plans to wrestle for New Japan in 2018. I think that what will be interesting about this match is his desire to make this match different than your now standard, but it's a high standard New Japan main event match. So you might see blood, you might see chairs, you might see run-ins. I think definitely both men want to make this match different, and it'll stand out because it'll be different than the other matches on the show. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think the fact that it's – I mentioned that with Sean earlier today. I think the fact that it's no DQ, similar to the hair and no seconds death match for the never open weight, I think it's different for New Japan. You've seen a lot of competitions where the natural inclination is I don't like you, you don't like me, but in the context of the ring, we're going to have a sporting event. We're going to beat each other up, but it's going to be – even if I hate you, I'm going to do it the right way. I feel like they're selling this like an old 80s – Southern, like Gato likes it when he was growing up watching stuff, just blood feud. And I think they had to microwave it to get it over and use Twitter as kind of like the vehicle by which they could help sell it, I think they've done a masterful job setting it up for what you said. If you're going to have blood and you're just going to have guts and this just thing, you don't have to worry about stars. Kenny Omega even mentioned that when he interviewed with Dave Keller. Oh my God. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez.
Going to be your last show? Cover. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. My brain is just completely discombobulated. I got like 8 things going at once about this match. So bear with me, folks. I'll get there.
But the thing with me, with this match is the desire to be different. You know, I don't think that they want to have, you know, Kenny Omega's had great matches this year with Okada and with Naito and with Michael Elgin and with Trent Beretta and others I'm probably forgetting. but having a feud, and I think that's, you know, we could go on to this topic separately, but we won't because we're focused on New Japan. But the whole reason why people like wrestling or any kind of contest is two people who don't like each other fighting that out. You know, yesterday I went to a basketball game at one of the probably most well-renowned basketball arenas in the country, that being Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, for the Kentucky-Louisville game. And those were two teams who were down to play each other. It wasn't about an artistic battle, and the people in the crowd weren't hoping for a good game. They were hoping for the team in blue winning. And I think sometimes wrestling, the entertainment aspect, gets away from the fact that you want someone to win. I mean, the whole Southern thing, you know, wrestling has always been about someone wanting someone to win or someone else to lose, and the entertainment aspect is taken away from that. And what was great about this match is bringing it into focus how you can do those things quickly and without that much work if you focus on the fact that they're competitors who want to beat each other, and that's their main focus.
Awesome. Now, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to take some calls and get your thoughts. And as we continue through the show, we're going to go through the rest of the card and get your thoughts as well. Tune in. If you're interested, push one on the touchtone dial. Join us for the party. And we will hear from you guys in a few moments on the PW Torch Saturday Livecast, a.k.a. The Deep Dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right. Welcome back to The Deep Dive with Rich and Chris. We're going to start taking some calls, get an idea of what you guys are thinking about Wrestle Kingdom coming up this. Well, it depends on when you'll watch it. If you're going to watch it live, it's going to be 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 4th. Otherwise, watch it at your leisure, or thanks to the monetary wherewithal of Mr. Mark Cuban, you'll be able to watch it on Friday on Access. He paid a pretty penny to get that. And I don't know, before we get to a call, I read his interview, and he's not playing around. He isn't a guy, you know, we joke sometimes with football about this, like the owner that's in the room and he has no idea what he's talking about, but he's trying to run it, if you think. He knows where New Japan should be in the kind of pantheon of fandom. And on top of that, he has an idea of what he'd like it to go to. And I'm really impressed by it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, New Japan has grown, and I know a lot of people are always in comparisons how they are to WWE and all those different type of things, but they're not going to try to catch up to WWE, and it's not really in America, and that's not really their goal. I think they're just trying to grow. But being able to show this show quickly after it happens, really a day or so after, when you're taking the fact the time difference, is pretty good timing for them. I mean, I am a New Japan World subscriber. I will not be up at 3 a.m. to watch it live, but I'll watch it later in the day. They have the internet and watch it then. I'm assuming you'll be watching at least the major matches live.
My goal every year is to watch at least everything except for the New Japan Rumble live, because I don't have it in me to get up like 2:30. But this year, yeah, I'm hoping to watch everything. And then I usually try to run during the last couple of matches. Last year was pretty tough because I turned into an 88-minute jog on my treadmill. And so that was a nice, smooth 9 miles there. This year, I don't think Omega and Jericho is going Broadway, nor do I think Naito Okada. So I think I have a good chance of going into work the next day not limping.
That's good. You know, being able to walk is important. But you know, with the AXS show, being able to boil it down to 3 hours, again, highlighting wrestlers who might have more name recognition in America, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody. I'm sure they'll have a pretty good audience. I guess it'll be their highest audience for a show that they've done for New Japan.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly, and I'm hoping it turns out that way. So are you in the mood for some calls, my friend?
Yeah, let's go to the phone lines, as they say in the business.
All right, outstanding. 814, state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling into the Deep Dive.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, how are you, my friend?
Good. want to let you know it's actually Saturday when it's airing and not Friday.
Saturday. Oh, thank you for that correction.
Saturday.
And is it in the evening still? I could have sworn it was in the evening.
Yeah, I believe it's 8 o'clock, right?
Yes, 8 o'clock on the East Coast.
Last time I trust Semper Vivi.
Okay. My first question for you is, on the New Japan Rumble, do you think there's a chance that we could see either the Steiner Brothers or Road Warrior Animal in that match, since they had Scott Norton last year?
I would say –
I would personally love that.
Man, that's a – I mean, God, Ryan, that – I think it's possible because really they're not affiliated with anyone. They don't have to worry about that. We could do a deep dive on that. My bet would be Haku will probably show up again because he's going to be there anyway because his kids are going to be wrestling. I could see the Steiners. I mean, I can't shoot a hole in it. I think the Steiners would not be a bad choice, to be honest.
But Rick Steiner hasn't wrestled in a long time. Isn't he on, like, a school board in Georgia?
Yes, that would be the one thing. That would be the one thing. But, again, if it's a one-shot, I don't think Rick Steiner would want to fly to Japan unless it was a heck of a payday, though, to just bounce out after the New Japan Rumble. Scott, maybe it'll help with the Shonies. Who knows?
My second question is, do you see that if Chris Jericho wins that match – what do you think the odds are that he would take the United States title to WWE? Do you think that's too way out there for you?
Oh, I would say that's like a full, like 0% chance, especially because of his relationship with Jado and Gato. I don't think he'd burn a 20-plus year relationship just to put the New Japan U.S. title on WWE television. Nor do I think Vince, even at his worst, would be able to convince him to do something like that. Chris?
I think if Jericho wins the title, that's a sign that he's going to be around for a little bit. I think he could probably be on a few more shows to lose it to back to Omega or someone else. But I think the odds of him beating Omega and bringing the belt to WWE are lower than low.
And my final question for you is, do you think New Japan will ever draw 65,000 fans like they used to for the WCW Super Shows, or do you think they're to stay put for the next few years at around 30,000 fans for these Wrestle Kingdom shows?
Well, from what I heard, I was just actually listening to, when I was working out this afternoon, the Big Audio Nightmare with Mike, and he had mentioned that they had crossed the maybe 35K threshold. So I think that's probably going to be their watermark for their hottest, somewhere between 32 and 35. Getting to 65, unless you have a dictator demanding every citizen go, I think it's going to be pretty hard for them. Especially legit.
Wait. Donald Trump likes New Japan? Wait, never mind. I think it's very unlikely for that to happen. Just from a standpoint of in Japan, New Japan is not as popular as it was. And in reality, for a show to get that amount of people to attend, the promotion needs to be at its peak in popularity. Even though New Japan has grown over the last few years behind the Tanahashi and Okada and Nakamura and a few others, and is growing, it's going to be a hard sled to get back to those levels.
And to let you know on that Chris Jericho, it wasn't that. I wasn't thinking that he would double-cross New Japan. I thought maybe there's a small, very small chance that Vince and New Japan have some sort of working agreement where they can maybe trade talent, that's sort of out there too.
Well, I wouldn't say it's out there. I think the biggest thing is when we saw the not the Purge, but his chance to snatch up the Bullet Club members a couple of years ago when he grabbed AJ and Doc Gallows. Yeah, that's right. My brain stopped working again. The reception's a little off right now. That was definitely something that took them off guard when he tried to get Omega. Well, allegedly, you know, though the contractual stuff I'll leave to Sean Radican because he knows that better than I do. As they try to get people, I feel like it's a lot more predatory than being partners. So I don't think that would be an option. Though if anyone could pull that off, Chris Jericho could.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. And Ryan, thanks for calling, and thanks for being a new listener toward the end of the year. It was a pleasure. I enjoy listening to you on The Observer, and I hope you have a pleasant end of 2017. I hope to hear from you more in 2018. That was awesome. So let's see. We got a couple of people queued up here. 773, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling The Deep Dive.
Boris from Chicago.
Boris, what's going on, my man?
I think this is the best way possible to end 2017.
I agree. I'm glad. First of all, glad I forgot that you got you're back on track as far as being able to call. So, and I will note before you ask your question, at some point, me, Chris, and a few of my friends are going to be going to Chicago for one of the AAW shows. So we're going to have to hook up at some point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll just start off saying I will be watching live. I will watch the Rumble part and everything because I'm taking 2 days off. I'm gonna take 2 days to do it because you know I work on days, so I have to take 2 days. You know, because I'm gonna start with beer and end with coffee. This is one of the reasons why I really enjoy it because the experience of doing it live is different from watching it after it happens. It even looks different in the browser once it's recorded. Because live is you can see the tweets and everything going and everybody reacting, you know what I'm saying? So there's a different experience when you actually watch it live too versus watching it after the fact. So I'll be going from beer to coffee because I'm going to watch the whole show. And my first question is, it's gonna be if the Jericho thing goes as matches, and due to the fact that they're trying to do something really really good with the U.S. title, who would be the next person that you would think to up the ante? Because Kenny Omega's been up in ante with his matches and the people, and I think this was just one more step using Jericho. So before he loses the belt, who do you think will be next?
Chris, what do you think?
Well, that's a really good question because correct me if I'm wrong, but Omega's had 3 U.S. title defenses. He had Juice Robinson, Trent Beretta, and Rich's favorite wrestler here in Chicago, Yoshihashi. So I'm not sure who that would be. I think what would intrigue me as a person who could maybe a contender would be Cody, but I don't know if they want to split up the Bullet Club. But that was someone who I would think should maybe be a contender. I know they teased Ascension with them before.
Cody's a good one. I think it would be a good opportunity for one of the younger Lions to kind of step up, Kitamura type. To like try to earn a shot, get a slap in the face, you know, because New Year's Dash is always going to be good for something like that, right? So I think a guy like Kitamura stepping up because time's a wasting on him. He's a huge dude, but he's also older. So the sooner you get him out there and push as a guy, granted they trust his base, you know, wrestling ability, I think the better off they'll be.
Excellent.
What about you, Boris? What do you think?
Actually, I guess we'll ask you guys because I have no clue. I just thought of it. I'm like, I really don't know because Jericho pretty much did a really good bar, which is, you know, the whole event of it, you know, the modern way of doing the Twitter that, you know, actually, you know, just, you know, the way they set it up, you know, all we've been doing, which is due to the fact we're over here and not there, we actually get the reaction, the big reaction, like an explosion of something happening from New Japan. It's been happening, you know, all year. And like I said, with this really shocked me because, you know, I got it on Twitter first and then, you know, you go from there. And I really don't know. I really don't know. Only reason why I really can't pick anybody too is, you know, it's toward the end of the year. And I've been working a lot. So I have really been able to actually enjoy it as much as I want. So actually, once I think the second, I'm going to binge a bit of everything that's going on so I can just get a better look, because I get to see, you know, watch a few, but not enough. So I'm going to binge a lot before even going into the show. I'm going to just pick matches and stuff that I want to see, because that's, you know, that's how I do my catching up. And so I have no idea who could go next. You know,
I think I just thought of one while you were talking, and I think I would go with why did I just forget his name, just escaped me. I would go with two people, actually. One would be one of the newest people they added to the through the tag tournament, in terms of the artist formerly known as Matanza, because I think
Jeff Cobb.
Miss Athletic Jeff Cobb. My brain, I don't know what's going on today. Jeff Cobb would be
focused on that possible
champion.
Bills playoff game tomorrow.
He's a good one.
I like Jeff Cobb because he's got the same sort of appeal as a Mike Elgin without some of the, I know you've been working, but some of the skeeziness of the last few weeks of Mike when it comes to Twitter.
Yeah.
And New Japan doesn't mess around. The Japanese culture, they don't mess around. Like, before his injury, there had been an incident in which Shibata had been involved with a woman and outside of his marriage, and people were kind of worried that that was going to get out and then, you know, kind of mess with him because she was on Twitter putting out pictures of his junk. And
it's
so stuff like that, like having what Mike did, as much as I love Mike Elgin as a wrestler, like, you can't be doing stuff like that online anywhere, really. It's unprofessional. And for a person who's claiming to be an owner of a business and then claiming he's selling the business over Twitter, it's just immature. And it's the stuff that Chris will remember this, because I was talking about it at the time. It's the stuff that had turned people off to Elgin when he was after he had become Ring of Honor World Champion, and the rumors that he was going to quit to become a baseball player started to emerge. That sort of Michael Elgin turned his head instead of the awesome Big Mike that came out of his stint in New Japan. So I'm hoping that he can kind of right the ship.
Now, with new guys.
They had the tag league, and so that was you had Jeff Cobb, and you also had Sammy Callahan, and he would be another person, because I think the U.S. champ should be North American. And if you can have a North American that either speaks English or resonates with the North American crowd, that kind of keeps the interest and you're pulling people in. In a perfect world, if I'm just wishing, similar to what AAW does, I would bring in someone, if you were allowed, like a Rey Fénix or a Penta, because they would be a phenomenal U.S. champion challenger, and they would bring in another element. But they already have CMLL, which, you know, maybe you bring in someone from there. That would not be the worst idea in the world. You have the U.S. title tour in Mexico.
Mm.
Because we're going to have Fantasticamania at the end of the month. So if you had someone challenge, and maybe the first part of the series, it would be similar to what – actually, Boris, this is a great question. This would be reminiscent of what went down with the original Intercontinental title run of Nakamura, where he lost it to current NXT champion, formerly known as La Sombra, Andre Cien Almas. When Almas was La Sombra, he won the Intercontinental title – and I want to say Mexico, and then lost it back to Nakamura in Japan. So that sort of thing is great as far as like getting the eyes on it, getting the attraction, having them on a major pay-per-view. There's so many different ways you can sell it. Having Jim Ross and Barnett call a match like that and sell the international intrigue would be more than enough for them to kind of bring those guys in as options.
Now you just made me think of something.
Okay.
Is 2018 Ibushi's push? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You think he's going to do it? Because remember, he wrestled under the mask for half the year. He wrestled in WWE for a second, and then he came back. And it's 2018 now. Is it time for him? Because we're getting close to a new year, and I noticed they've been keeping it fresh at, you know, far as I've been watching it. And I'm figuring the way they do things, you know, and how they transition people, I really hope it's his year, because I really like that guy. It's something about him. you know, that he did the Tiger Mask thing. And I'm just wondering, is 2018 his year without the Tiger Mask? What you guys think?
I think he could be. The big thing for him is he's a free spirit. So someone like that, it doesn't necessarily want to be tied down as a New Japan guy. And that was one of the challenges. I know people like Tanahashi and Nakamura would give him, like, hey, commit fully. You could be one of the Musketeers, but do you want it? And, you know, he marches to the beat of a different drummer, all the other platitudes you can say for someone that, you know, walks their own path. If I can borrow the Batista, he walks alone. But he would be a heck of a U.S. title challenger. And listening to the Wrestling Observer interview Omega did with Meltzer and Alvarez, he mentioned he had to rebuff several times the front office because they just wanted to do the match as a match rather than something that had meaning. Because, and this was something that shocked me, New Japan is not too dissimilar from WWE in that they had a mindset of what happened outside of New Japan is not something people would care about. And over the course of last year, it was apparent that people cared more about that little piddling, quote unquote, DDT than they New Japan brass were quite, you know, comfortable admitting until, you know, he pushed back. And now you have this Jericho match instead of what could have been a chance, just a random you know, house show match that they threw out, for lack of a better phrase.
Wow. Now I have another question. Do you think Gato and them, you know, are they paying attention or understanding that things they're doing are actually echoing in America? You know, we're actually reacting, and it's getting a bigger reaction than certain things that, this is just my opinion, that WWE do. I feel that New Japan's little sparks, you know, I call them little spark, you know, things that get a reaction. Are you think they're aware of this, you know, that the things they're doing are actually getting eyeballs and reactions?
I think so, but I think also we have to be careful with it, right? Because you look at, say, NXT. I'm a huge NXT fan. We look at NXT as kind of like the hallmark of the WWE system because it brings what fans really want, quote unquote. Like, it has the indie darlings, it has great wrestling, strong storylines. They put it on USA Network, it gets, you know, like 300,000-400,000 viewers. As much as we malign it at times, Raw is still getting millions of viewers. I want to see what the watermark is for Saturday's show. I want to see how it does on Access. I want to see what the 18 to 35 demo, how it looks with young women, because young women is Dave Meltzer constantly mentions, and Wade also mentions too at times when they're talking about demos. That's kind of become the new watermark, the thing that's rising the boat, because there is such a young, strong young woman presence that's replaced some of those guys that left. You can't alienate them, and I don't know if it's resonating. We got to get those stats, and I think someone like a Mark Cuban, who uses so many analytics when it comes to his business life, is going to keep track of those things and try to figure out how he can help make New Japan more palatable to the American audience that isn't as discerning as we think they should be.
You know what? Yeah. And just what you're saying, that I'll tell you one way that will, that, you know, because Access is where it'll take some steps for me to get to it, but I guarantee you, if Access was on Apple TV or the Roku or the Fire Stick, something like that, as a free app or something like that, you know, some way that you can just get it, you know, because everybody got Fire Sticks, and at my job, most people come to me and they, you know, they take their Fire Stick and enhance it with the Cody's and stuff like that. So if Access could do something like that, put themselves where they can be, where they can, what devices people have, I think that's what really opened the door, because, you know, Access is on cable and I'm not a cable person. So I'm on, you know, I'm online and internet. So if Access was available on one of, well, a way where it could be provided to me on my phone or my iPad or my desktop, I'm watching it, you know, because if it's somewhere on cable, that just, you know, it just it's buried there. So what do you think about him actually putting Access as an app or something where it can become part on a mobile device?
That's going to be the big thing for him, because you – oh, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
I was okay. I think it's a little bit harder than I think people know. When I talk about wrestling, one of the things I always talk about is my parents who started me watching wrestling years ago, but they do not have or will probably get the WWE Network. They're not computer savvy. Access right now has a Barry Manilow Great Performances is on their station as we speak. So how much of their viewership of all their programs are a New Japan audience? That I don't know. I know they have New Japan. I know they have MMA. But are those their highest rated programs? And would that be, you know, if not focusing on a certain demographic, hurt them in other businesses, other ends of their business? But I'm not sure. I know Access, I believe, doesn't have Nielsen reports. So I don't know if their ratings are public as ratings are for, you know, TNA or WWE. But I think that what they're doing is incrementally better. I think that it's just going to be a slow process because of just their current television network. They have to look at all facets of their programming and not just New Japan.
True. And I say this much too, the network, the New Japan network is, man, it's night and day improvements. As I've been using it, it's been night and day. It's getting better at being English friendly, I could say, especially when it comes to paying the bill. Only thing, I just be glad when they do make it fully integrated in English, whereas in, you know, signing on is in full English and it doesn't change back to, you know, Japanese or anything when you're not on it. You know, it's a few things that they need to do to keep it English, you know, us friendly. Because that's another thing, too, that I deal with is that I got the notification app, and right now I'm fumbling with make sure that it notified me, so I have to go back in there and figure it out, and that's not a good thing for people that is not like me. You get what I'm saying? The notification app is a separate thing from the network, and it's not in English, and I think I got to go back to Chrome or something. I'm just figuring it out. And so that's not helpful if you can't understand the notification app. So there's a lot that they can do. And I just, with these improvements that they did do, I'm able to get there. But to get a bigger audience, they really going to have to go full on with this English thing.
Yeah, I think they realize that. I think the big thing for them, like Chris said, is they're trying to crawl before they walk. And the safer they do it, the less likely they overextend themselves, because you don't want this to be an impact situation. If you start talking big, I'd rather under-promise and over-deliver.
One more thing, the tag teams. What do you think about the tag teams, and what do you think 2018 will bring for us outside of a fraction within tag teams?
I think right now you have – each stable has their you know, given tag team. And then on top of that, you'll have the – you know, if Matt Riddle wasn't so, you know, friendly with the ganja, perhaps Chosen Bros, him and Jeff Cobb could be a tag team in New Japan. But alas, life isn't always fair. So I think it's going to shake out, as always, depending on what they want to do. Like, if there's a couple of gaijin they can bring in, if there's a couple of young boys that are ready to move up to the next level, like Sho and Yo did, it's really going to depend on that. But for now, I think the heavyweight division is going to kind of be a little meh when it comes to the tags, especially if the rumors are true and War Machine are heading to WWE. And at the junior heavyweight level, I think it's always going to be exciting because you can always put any two juniors together, and it's going to be pretty good because they take the time to get used to each other. So I think, as always, the junior heavies are going to be buoyed by the Young Bucks and now Sho and Yo, and then have the odd teams come in and out.
Yeah, I think New Japan sort of struggled at the end of this year with just having various matches of Killer Elite Squad, Bullet Club, and War Machine just fighting each other over and over again to the point that it seemed like they didn't have any other tag teams. But they'll probably find a way to produce some other teams. You may see something occur on either Wrestle Kingdom or New Year's Dash to create a new team. I'm sure they always have something in the in the planning, and maybe some of the teams that work together at the Real World Tag League will become more full-fledged teams and have more matches in New Japan.
And we had a team that broke up, and it wasn't it wasn't even a match. They actually went their separate ways. That was a first for me. I was just jaw-dropped that we had a tag team that actually broke up amicably and just went on and did their own thing. How about that, guys? 2017.
I know. I really appreciate that. They broke up, and you had the best friends now teaming up, and it's not an issue where either guy feels like they've been slighted. So, yeah,
I feel slighted because I can no longer hear the Roppongi Vice theme song. So I feel slighted. So I play it on YouTube and I bug my wife, but that's a personal problem, I guess.
We can't use Nakamura's music. I mean, I'm still slighted by that. That, you know, I can't get Nakamura's music in New Japan. You know, we've both been slighted.
Well, Boris, you be good, man. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to hearing from you in 2018,
my
man.
Happy New Year, guys, and this is a blessing to me that my year gets to end this way with a great new friend that evolved to this point, and he became a host of his own show, because behind the scenes, we actually had conversations and stuff before he got his own show, and how cool is it to end this way with a great friend that you are, Mr. Finn.
Well, thank you, Boris. I appreciate that. And you kind of took some of the sail out of the wind sail out of my wind. Oh, God, malaprops are all – my brain is gone. At the end of the show, I am going to be very weepy about this stuff, because I do really appreciate the opportunity Wade gave me, the opportunity Travis gave me, the opportunity Bruce gave me to share my voice, my thoughts with everyone. So, yeah, so it'll be less weepy this time now. Chris, we'll be right back.
I'm glad you got a show.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. We're running a little long. Hold that thought, Chris. But when we come back, we're going to chat with you guys. 515-605-9345. And we look forward to doing that here on The Deep Dive.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive. I'm Rich Fan, joined by my friend Chris Maitland. We're probably going to run a little long because I see there's still a number of people on hold. Chris and I still have to finish our preview of the show, and you guys have been awesome so far. So, Chris, I apologize for cutting you off. I was getting the go-home cue from the ref. Continue.
No, it was okay. I was saying it's great that you got the show, because I can just show up and make random appearances. So, thank you.
Yes, that's good. You are in the clubhouse as the lead guest host, followed closely by Daniel Palmer, DPalm66 on Twitter. Though Palm has the statistical advantage because his episode with me on a couple of our episodes. When you look at his listenership, he has you beat by like 150 people.
Well, I'm a volume. The more shows, the higher my number will be. So I'm a volume shooter like Carmelo Anthony.
30 for 30. Got to keep it going. All right. So speaking of keeping it going, all one. So typically this is either international caller or Craig. Why don't you state your name and where you're calling from?
I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's Craig from Toledo.
Hey, no. Either way, it's either going to be you or it's going to be my man Oh my God. Jason from Australia.
Jason from Australia. It's all right. You got them Bills tomorrow. It's all right.
I'm actively not watching the game because I had scheduled a New Year's Eve dinner with my wife. And in an effort not to ruin my relationship, I'm going to turn off all electronic devices, and because it's at 6:30, I think. So I don't even want to have the stress of thinking, oh, God, they could win, or, oh, God, they're losing. I just I'll figure it out when I get home.
Since you have that dinner reservation, you should probably have Shahid watch the Bills game for you. I mean, he seems to be able to step in those situations.
He could. He's a good guy. Shahid's good when it comes to that. Now, for me though, I'll have it. You know, because I have Game Pass, I can watch the replay if they won. If they lose, I'll just move on to the off season. And if they make the playoffs, I don't want to be in a restaurant trying to eat dinner with my wife, like crying like a 3-year-old. So, it is what it is.
You could chalk it up to the end of the year, and you're so happy about this year.
she'd see right through that. She's been married to me 8 years. She knows the gimmick.
I'm going to make this all quick because I know you're trying to, get through this. I love the Best Of Pod. It was awesome. I heard it at work this morning, and I can't believe Shahid voted against the Usos. And since it's your first deep dive end of the year show, I think it might be good to give some of us New Japan newbies some tips.
Oh,
I listened
sure.
to Marty and Sarah, the Marty and Sarah podcast. I sent you something about, because they actually perform at AAW in Chicago. They do ring announcing and commentary sometimes. Marty's one of the guys, friend of Colt Cabana. They have a podcast, and they gave the following guidelines for on-demand viewing of Wrestle Kingdom. And the first one is don't text unless you know someone is watching live, because there's no bigger jerk move than sending a text. Like, you can tweet all you want, but don't send a text, because, you automatically have to answer those.
Oh, that's good. That's a really good one, because I've actively avoided – during G1, for instance, I would actively avoid texting Sean Radican because I wouldn't want to spoil something he wasn't watching at the same time, and he would conversely do the same thing. Though most people assume on the Torch staff that I would have watched it when I got up, so I have to stay consistent, because I would get the odd text of, did you see this? And there were some nights I didn't watch it the day of, and I just had to see that it was a person, like if Sean, for instance, if I saw Sean's text, I'd be like, oh, not reading that right now. Or if it was Bruce talking about something, I could assume it was from the night before, two nights, because he'll binge. He's not a big, like, I'm going to watch this, then watch this, then watch this. So I kind of knew, based on the texter, where I should be worried, and so that kind of kept me in line. So, yeah, that's a really good one. Another one I would say is, if you're using New Japan World to watch it, go for the next lowest quality of the bit rate. So what I mean by that is, if you go to the settings, whatever the highest, it'll go to auto. Take it to, like, the level below the highest, and that'll ensure that you won't have any buffering issues during it live. If you want to watch it on tape delay, you could have it at the highest quality possible. But typically you run into the hiccups when you try to watch it in the highest.
That's right. And also avoid Twitter. And if you don't avoid Twitter, or if you don't avoid Twitter and you're watching it on delay and it gets spoiled for you, that's on you, because this is probably going to be a very highly viewed one by ardent wrestling fans, but not like, there's going to be a lot of people on Twitter talking about this that if you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I mean, Marty and Sarah, they were kind enough to follow me on Twitter, so I'm looking forward whenever Chris, myself, and our buddies go down to AAW, get to meet them and chat about it. But yeah, that's it. You can't be on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever social media you choose during an event like this and not get spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me what's been helpful is the fact that I've been a long-time watcher of the English Premier League, and a lot of the games used to be on tape delay, or they'd be on very early. So I'm used to watching sporting events not live and being off social media. I think that obviously in today's world, it's so easy to record things that people forget that. But I mean, I did speak to Richie yesterday when he was going to watch it, just to remind him not to text me until he hears from me first. So if you have a friend that watches New Japan, connect with them, make sure you know their schedule before the show, so that you're all on the same page when the show starts.
Now, you said you're an EPL fan. Who's your team?
I'm a fan of Newcastle United.
Okay. And, Rich, you're Arsenal, right?
Yes.
All right.
That was
I'm
after
Liverpool,
an adoption process due to the death of my first team, which was Blackburn.
They're still alive. They're just
they're a walking corpse. They got like four players that are paid. But see, this isn't what people pay
the
for.
Last,
go ahead, Craig.
The last one I had is I had a problem over the summer with when I got the G1. The G1 started like July 21st. It was like whatever it was. It was the 21st month. When you get New Japan World a subscription, even if you get it like on the 20th or the 21st, the new even if you get it like today, the new subscription will start on the 1st. So like if you get it between today and the end of this year, they're going to charge you again on the 1st. So wait until the 1st to get that subscription. I figured that out. I had to deal with all the customer service and everything. So just, I know your view on it. You're like, we had to pay $365 back in the day and walk uphill both ways and whatnot.
That is exactly, yes. Yes, Craig's heard my, back in the day, it was like $175 for you to get the entire G1, and now it's like basically $14. And now that I got rid of FlowSlam, which died a death, I can afford to get I'll be purchasing either High Spots or I'm trying to – or the Stardom World. I'm not sure yet.
And the Fire TV app is golden. And even Radican didn't know about that until I told him about it in July. So,
yeah,
Fire TV app, New Japan, great.
Yeah, he did the – we did Radican Worldwide today. And that was one of the suggestions he had for people who are interested to go online and use the Fire app.
Yep, it's amazing and so easy. And I had a couple other things, but you got some stuff to talk about, so I'll let you get to it. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Oh, absolutely. Happy New Year, and I look forward
happy
to hearing
New Year.
From you.
Both of you.
Just don't
Thank
send
you,
any
happy
email
New Year.
To start a fight with me and Travis on Wednesday. Save those for 2018, 2017, where we're kind of good here.
I gotcha.
All right, so we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're going to finish strong with some calls, finish up our preview of Wrestle Kingdom 12, and shut down this bad boy for the rest of the year. I look forward to hearing from you guys, and I look forward to chatting with my buddy Chris as we close up shop here on The Deep Dive.
No matter what kind of wrestling fan you are, Ring Rust Radio is the perfect podcast for you. Every Wednesday night, Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest news in professional wrestling, including Raw, SmackDown, and WWE pay-per-view reviews. That isn't all, as Ring Rust Radio also delves into NXT, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and New Japan to discuss the latest happenings in every major company. Ring Rust Radio conducts interviews with the biggest stars in the wrestling business as well, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, and many more. If you're looking for your wrestling fix with an entertaining twist, check out Ring Rust Radio every week on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to The Deep Dive with Chris and Rich. We're here closing up shop talking about Wrestle Kingdom 12, taking your calls, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And, Chris, we hadn't had a chance yet to talk about some of the other title matches. Switchblade going up against defending Intercontinental Champion Hiroshi Tanahashi. What are your thoughts on this one, considering we've seen both of these guys live?
Well, I'm, as I have been for the last few years, concerned with Tanahashi's health. I'm probably more concerned than he is, which is part of the problem. I know that he'll put together a spectacular match, but it's an interesting spot for match placement and the fact that Switchblade is sort of a new character, hasn't really been established and is being put in you know, the third match from the top against Tanahashi. I don't think Jay White, the Switchblade, has even wrestled a match, so he doesn't have a record to go in on. I'm very intrigued in the crowd reaction to this match, and especially to Jay White and how that goes. But my expectation is that Tanahashi will retain the Intercontinental title.
And I know you said this is your least favorite match, but the gauntlet match for the NEVER Openweight six-man title, you got basically all the stables and Taguchi Japan. Well, no, all of the stables and Michael Elgin and War Machine.
Right. Big dudes, as I like to call them.
Big dudes.
My guess is the Bullet Club would retain, though I sort of have a soft spot for the teams with Trent Beretta and Zack Sabre, because I watched, well, Trent Beretta once, but I watched Zack Sabre wrestle quite a bit in Evolve when I was in New York, and so it's kind of cool to see people there wrestle in, and I did see Maurice Scurll wrestle as well, and we'll get to that match, wrestling in the Tokyo Dome in the same a year later is pretty cool, but my guess is that the Bullet Club, who just won the title about a week or so ago, will retain.
And what about to kind of wrap up the tag teams? We talked about Roppongi 3K and the Young Bucks a little bit, but what about the Killer Elite Squad versus Los Ingobernables of Evil and Sonata?
I think that LIJ will win. I think that that's the reason why they had them drop the six-man titles to win the tag titles, and Killer Elite Squad can chase them, so that's my pick.
Okay. And before we take our final calls of the evening, I want to go through the singles matches, starting with Cody, since it's the only remaining match that isn't a title match, with Brandi Rhodes. I like the way they do that for legal purposes. Versus Kota Ibushi.
I see when Cody Rhodes lost the Ring of Honor world title to Dalton Castle, I pretty much knew that he would be losing to Ibushi. So my prediction is Ibushi will be winning that match.
And what about the match itself? Do you think it's going to be good? How's your thought of Cody and New Japan so far? Positives, negatives?
Cody Rhodes may not be the same wrestler as some of the other folks, but what I like about Cody is a great character. And you probably see that more in Ring of Honor than New Japan. But I think that there has to be, you know, some of wrestling is lost in the character. Him as Ring of Honor world champion being a heel was a really good character, and he able to display that a little bit with the tag match that they had a few weeks ago when he hit Ibushi with the crossroads on the stage. But I think he does a really good job. I'm really enjoying his character.
All right, and that leaves us with two matches. The first being, I mentioned this earlier, it's another stipulation match, which is a rarity for New Japan. Loser's hair is cut, and there's no seconds. Death match for the NEVER Openweight Heavyweight Championship. Hirooki Goto versus Minoru Suzuki.
I'm hoping Goto wins. I like Suzuki. It was really cool to see him wrestle when he came to Columbus. But Suzuki Gun bugs the hell out of me. I mean, one of the things I hate about New Japan is they have these matches where Suzuki Gun has about 25 guys run in and no one does anything. No one gets disqualified. So I'm hoping that Goto wins and that they shave Suzuki's very interesting hairstyle.
Yes, and we haven't seen him for a while, so it's always fun with Suzuki when he gets to Wrestle Kingdom, because that usually means he's had nothing but lattes and rage for about a month. So he should be highly caffeinated and ready to break arms. And then the final one, I'm really looking forward to it because they took the last year building up to this match in terms of post-match arguments, the continued destruction of my boy Hiromu. After every single one, Marty Scurll champion defending against Hiromu Takahashi, Kushida, and Will Ospreay for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
My guess is that Kushida will win. I've seen all these guys wrestle, especially in Columbus, again, as I said a few weeks ago. But I think Kushida is still the number one person in the junior division, and this would be a way to give him back the title. So he's my pick.
I'm going to actually go against the grain. I'm going with my boy Hiromu. I think him and Daryl need the belt so Daryl can have a little mini belt of his own. That's just me.
Boy.
I'm on Team Daryl for life, I think, as much as I appreciate Fale, Tonga, and Loa, and all that Haku has done for New Japan Pro Wrestling by loaning his children. The treatment of Daryl in the past year was something I really should have spoke out about more here on the Deep Dive, and I feel ashamed that my cowardice did not allow me to do so.
Yeah, I too hashtag am ashamed of Daryl.
Yeah, I stand with Daryl. Hashtag I stand with Daryl. Looks like we have one more call. So I want to make sure we get that one before we're out of here. Since we are in overtime, let me run one more commercial. So when we come back, we're going to take our final calls, and then I'll say my goodbyes to you guys here on the live cast.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed, check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, we're back for the home stretch here on the Deep Dive with Rich Van and Chris Maitland. Final call of the evening, 862. State your name, where you're calling from.
It's Kylan, Rich. How are you and Chris doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. And looking forward to our conversation we'll be having in 2 weeks? Or is it three?
Yep. I can't. That is correct, Rich.
Yep, in 2 weeks, Kylan's going to be on the show co-hosting.
Me and you are doing our first, hopefully, many hour Broadways in 2 weeks.
What's yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I'll let Kylan tell you what the topic is.
Our topic, which this is the first of five topics that I will hopefully get to do with Rich, but for my debut, we will be doing best babyface turns.
Oh wow! I'm gonna have to call on that one. I got a few that come to mind. I won't spoil the show, but that's a really good topic.
I'm looking forward to you being one of our callers for my debut as a co-host.
Excellent. So while we got you here, so what do you have for us this week?
Boris and Ryan kind of stole some of my questions that I was going to ask you earlier, thanks to Blog Talk being a little difficult earlier today. I actually had to dial in twice because the first time I dialed in, it didn't give me the signal that I was in the call queue. But anyway, my first question, which they did not take, is with Don Callis, the English color commentator for New Japan, now being the chairman or, excuse me, executive vice president of wrestling operations for Impact Wrestling as of January 11th, do you see any current New Japan junior or heavyweight talent moving to Impact within the next few weeks? And if so, who?
Huh. Chris?
I'm not sure of anyone in particular. I'm trying to think. I mean, the one thing about, as I mentioned before, with someone like Zack Sabre Jr. and Evolve, you know, a lot of, you know, New Japan has a relationship with Ring of Honor, but you have Americans who wrestle in New Japan that don't wrestle there are non-Japanese, like he's one, even though he's British. So he lives in Brooklyn now. So I could see with Impact's push to get pretty much anyone to come in, you can keep your character, them pushing anyone or going after anyone that doesn't have an agreement with Ring of Honor, I would think that they would try to be for fair game, whether that be someone like a Michael Elgin, you know, Will Ospreay's contract just expired. I'm trying to think who else. Killer Elite Squad. I think anyone that doesn't have a contract with Ring of Honor, they're going to try to speak with.
That would make sense.
Oh, go ahead, Kylan.
That would certainly make sense.
One of the things I was thinking about. Yeah, given what you were saying, Kylan, the first thing that came to mind for me was not necessarily established junior heavyweights or heavyweights, but I think similar to what they do with Ring of Honor, it would be great to get some of the young boys. Like if you got a guy like Kitamura to go to the United States for a few months, learn a little bit more English, put himself in a position where he sees the style, he's already learned the substance, and then come back to New Japan, I think he'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, now that's a name I didn't think of. Now to kind of reverse that question, but along the same lines, do you see anyone who is being underutilized or who does not like their current position in WWE or Impact transitioning to New Japan in the coming year? And if so, who?
Gosh, I think... Here's the tough part. With New Japan, there's allotment of so many gaijin you can have. And right now, I think, if anything, they might have more than they're comfortable with historically. So I can't think of anyone coming from WWE that they would want to bring in. Even a Dolph Ziggler, like if his contract expired and he peaced out, is it worth it? I don't think so. Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it is based on the different contractual obligations of WWE wrestlers, as well as the fact that I think New Japan likes the relationship with Ring of Honor in the fact that if they need a Briscoe brother or they need a Jay Lethal to add to a card, they can without the requirement they have to be on. Adding people, you know, Jericho's a one-off, and even someone like Cody doesn't wrestle on every show. Adding a lot more people is going to make the cards even more difficult to do. I mean, New Japan has these stretches where they have a whole bunch of multi-person matches to get everyone in the card. I don't think they're going to want to add too many people, though I do think they definitely want to keep a decent American presence because they are having the show in Long Beach in March. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to have another show later in the year as well. So they want to keep a few Americans, a few non-natives, but not too many.
Yeah. And my final question concerns the junior heavyweight tag division. If the Young Bucks do not defeat the newly formed team of Roppongi 3K on Thursday, do you think that signals the downward slide of the Young Bucks into a a transitioning phase of permanently putting over younger talent, or is that just a means to getting to another chapter in the story with Roppongi 3K?
I personally would love if the Young Bucks lost every match, but that's just me. I would actually, to be honest, prefer that if they were put into the heavyweight division, because I think some of the junior heavyweight tag teams could mix up well with some of the bigger teams and have a new set of matchups instead of having the same teams wrestle over and over again. And maybe in a similar fashion to Trent Beretta moving up to the heavyweight division, that the Young Bucks move up to the tag team heavyweight division and are involved there. Though I do hope they lose. I want to make that very clear.
Gee,
I hope
tell
at some
us
point
how
they...
you really feel there, Chris.
So I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, Rich.
Oh, I was going to say, it's my goal would be for 2018 if New Japan just made it open weight tag. That would make it so much easier, because you'd have so many teams as opposed to such a dichotomy between the junior heavies and the heavies.
I can agree with that. And Rich, I don't know if you were planning to save this as the topic for next week's show, but in case you weren't, I just thought of an additional question. What are your wrestling-related New Year's resolutions for 2018?
Oh, gosh. I have some. I am going to use them next week, and it's not a spoiler. I think it's something we're going to be doing at the tail end with Semp, because I think Mike will be a really good person. Like, he's really good at esoteric thinking. So I want to kind of throw that on him without him preparing, because then he'll give the best answer. But personally, I think one of the things I want as a resolution is more interaction among the independent promotions and more variety of talent usage. I mean, a guy like Joey Janela should be wrestling across the United States by the end of the year, because he's awesome. He's found a niche, and he's done it without killing himself. So more power to him.
My New Year's resolution, and since I've recently moved to Columbus from New York, is to attend as many live wrestling shows as I can. Even though I'm not going to WrestleMania weekend, I'm going to 3 shows in the Columbus area with Justin McClellan, who co-hosted with you a few weeks ago, and we talked about going to a show in Chicago. So there's nothing better than seeing something live, no matter what it is, and I think wrestling falls in that category. So I'm going to try to go to as many live wrestling events as possible.
Those are good. I actually have 2. One of them is to restart watching Ring of Honor consistently again, because I kind of slipped after the first month of the year, believe it or not, because I made a conscious effort to start into New Japan, partially thanks to Rich, so, and my second resolution for this year that I also hope to accomplish, which this is something I've been hoping to do for the last 3 years, is to hopefully get to meet our senior columnist, Bruce, this year.
Yes, I. That's one thing I know Brian had mentioned, and that's that'd be more of a professional, yeah, resolution. I'd love to do another show with Bruce because Bruce is one of the best minds when it comes to professional wrestling and best opinions. And working with him for almost a year was probably one of the highlights of my burgeoning wrestling, you know, coverage career.
To wrap us up, Rich, since you and I like to do a lot of pre-planning and research before we do anything, if you'd like to have like a little production meeting for before our show in a couple weeks, you have my number. You're more than welcome to use it anytime you want.
Oh, thank you, Kylan, and I'll be sure to take you up on that, especially once with my new job. My schedule is one where I'm still learning what it is, so yeah, I'll definitely hit you up. And then we also have the, you know, you're always good to send me a message if stuff comes up. So yeah, we have tons of ways to communicate, and we will make sure we're locked down by the time 2 weeks from now rolls around.
I'm looking forward to it. And Chris, I hope you make an appearance with us.
I will. 2 weeks, I will call. I already got a couple in mind.
We're looking forward to it. Well, you can kick me off now, Rich.
All right, Kylan, you be good, and I'll talk to you again, my man. Have a happy new year. All right, my friend, you're close. Semper Vivi, I think, has your beat with length as far as shows, but we're
that's
pushing
good.
70.
I've known you longer than you've known him, so I should have that.
Yeah, so you're there. I thought this was a good show. I think honestly, it's been a pleasure. How can folks keep track of you on social media? How can they interact with you? Share some thoughts about Newcastle, the Jets, pro wrestling, complaints about not enough smooth grooves on radio.
You can find me on Twitter at Mind of Maitland. I always say I will tweet more. I really don't as much as I should, but I do have a lot of thoughts, and I feel now that I've moved to Ohio that I should give more of them. But that's Mind of Maitland. I will be tweeting about wrestling, my many sporting teams, and I feel like with the situation with my NFL team, I'll be tweeting a lot about the NFL draft over the next few months.
Yes. Go Josh Allen, go.
Yes, go to Denver and not the Jets.
Yes,
but thanks for having me, Rich. Thank you to all the PW Torch listeners. I know you have some closing remarks to give, so I will let you. I will listen in and let you go ahead and give them. Happy New Year to everyone, and I will talk to you the next time I'm on.
All right, my friend, I appreciate that. And it was awesome to do this show with you guys. It's not like it's going away. It's just, you know, end of the year. But I do want to express my gratitude. Because going into 2017, I wasn't quite sure what was going to be there. And if you told me, 5 years ago, I think that's what the tweet was. You could quote tweet and talk about 5 years ago, if you told me I'd have worked with Bruce Mitchell, been hired by Wade Keller to work at the Torch and contribute on a weekly basis on my own radio show, I would have said you're crazy. And I am humbled to have this opportunity. I wanted to take some time at the end of the year to kind of look back and say, thanks to Wade, thanks to Bruce, thanks to Travis, being one of the few wrestling fans of color that have a major platform that supports them is huge. That's why, if you've noticed over my short stint here with the Deep Dive, representation to me is everything. Having as many different voices and as many different people that can stir the pot. It doesn't have to be visual. It can be whatever it is. Everyone, if I can steal yet another wonderful thing from Jim Smallwood, everyone's welcome here. Everyone's welcome to the Deep Dive, the Torch. Thank you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sending emails. Thank you for tweeting. Thank you for bearing with me when nights like this in my brain's in 8 million places and it just won't fire. And I look forward to sharing some more of what I like diving into, which is the world of pro wrestling, which I love, which you guys love, in 2018. I'll leave you with information about how you can go VIP and you can hear from some of the eminent voices of professional wrestling and get over 30 years of wrestling knowledge dropped in your brain. Again, thank you. God bless. Have a great night. Dive into something new in 2018. Challenge yourself. Put yourself in a position where you can surprise not only the people around you, but most importantly, challenge the person you see in the mirror. It's been real, guys. See you in 2018.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, The retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. This is Live.